We've been going over the life of Jesus for months now. If you've been with us, even if you've only come a couple times, you're like, are we still there? Yes, because, well, he's the main character. So we're going to take a lot of time, and we're going through his story. And we're going to do that, and we're getting close to kind of the big week, the last week, the last day. There's a lot coming, and we're almost there. But for today, we're going to get to a story, and I don't get to speak a lot because that's not my role, and that's okay. But as we work together and we plan these sermons and we look ahead and we kind of say, okay, it might be this week, might be that week, sometimes there are some stories that you look ahead and you're like, that one's coming, and it just grabs you. And sometimes it's like, that's an awesome story. I wish I got to share it myself. And it's like, no, Arlen's going to be here. And so I get to listen to him, and he's awesome, and it's a good job. But every so often, there's one that's like, man, I want that one. And it works out, and that's today. Just something about this story, when we went over it, it was like, I really want that one, and it worked out. So I'm excited. But before we get to today's story, we've got to do a little bit of review, a little bit of callback to a character we saw months and months ago called John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist. If you remember, John was the cousin of Jesus. He was the forerunner of Jesus. That was his job. He was foretold by the old Hebrew scripture prophets that said, before the Messiah comes, there's going to be somebody else who's going to go ahead of them and say, he's on his way, get ready, prepare the way of the Lord, you need to repent, get everything straight, because he's about to show up. That was John's role. And John was unique. He was out in the wilderness preaching. He wore a camel skin garment with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey. And I'm like, I'm not in for any of that, because that's just not my jam. Because it's honey, it's not my jam. Anyway, bad joke. Sorry, they'll get better. They will get better. Next week when Arlen's back, the jokes will get better. But this is John, and he's doing this, and he's preaching over and over. Hey, get ready. He's coming. He's on the way. He's coming. He's on the way. Get ready. And he keeps doing this. And eventually, Jesus shows up on the scene, and John says, he's the one. This is the one I've been telling you about this whole time. It's him. He's the Lamb of God. This is the one. Follow him. Listen to him. Do what he says. And so Jesus comes on the scene. He's baptized, and then he starts preaching, and Jesus' crowd gets bigger and bigger, and John gets smaller and smaller, and he's okay with that, because that was his point, that was his purpose. But at some point, as John keeps preaching, he gets in trouble with the ruler, Herod Antipas, because John gets a little too close to the political business. Well, the moral business of the political leader, and John gets put in prison. And as I can imagine I would do, and maybe all of us would do, if we've been doing the right thing, and we get in trouble for it, ever feel that way? You're in school and you get in trouble for doing the right thing. You tell somebody to stop talking and you get called on for talking. What in the world? But it's not just that. He's in prison. He's like, this is not how I expected it to go. And he starts to wonder, did he get it wrong? Did he mess up somewhere along the way? And he has a couple people that are still close to him that came to visit him. Maybe they brought him food. Maybe they just came to care for him because prison was not a very kind place. And he says, I want you to go to Jesus and ask him a question for me. And so we're going to look back to something we've seen, but want to pull one thread out of it that will help us for later today. So all the way back to Luke chapter 7 and verse 20. So John's two disciples, these two men that John sent, they found Jesus. And they said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? This is John. This is the one who the whole time has been saying, there's a guy coming, there's a guy coming, and points to Jesus and says, he's the one, and now it's like, are you the one? So I'm just not sure anymore. Because life didn't go the way I thought it would, and I'm starting to wonder, can you just help? And Jesus doesn't respond with words. He responds first with actions. Verse 21, at that very time, so right as they ask the question, they get done answering the question. At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. The next verse he says, then he told John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see. The lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. We might have expected some poignant parable. Go back to John and tell him the kingdom of heaven is like this. Or maybe just a powerful phrase, John, be not faithless but believing. Or, I don't know, any of the things that we've seen Jesus do, but he doesn't do any of that. He just does some work and says, go tell John. Just say, John, look what I've done. If you doubt, if you wonder if I'm the one, look what I've done. And that's enough for John. Now, the story does not end well as we would explain well for John. But his faith strengthens and he remains faithful. But eventually, he's martyred in that very prison. He never walks free. But he never doubts again because of what Jesus has sent to him. Look what I've done. And it strikes me that as we've gone through this series and we've seen story after story that the gospel writers have written out for us, Matthew sets out his account, and Mark and Luke and John, and they tell us all these things that Jesus has said and done. They're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing. They're saying, look what I've done. Look what Jesus has done. I want to tell you, I want you to believe that he's the one. So look what he's done. John sums it up at the very end of his gospel. He says, I could have written a whole lot of stuff. But what I wrote, I chose to write for a purpose. I wanted you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing you have life in his name. That's why I've been doing all this. So the gospel writers have told us story after story that we've seen these past few months to convince us that Jesus is who they say he is, but more importantly, that Jesus is who Jesus said he was, and they want us to believe. And they keep doing this over and over. And as we're getting to the climax, this point of the story where it's about to change from everybody's expectation of what the Messiah was going to look like, this important, they draw back into these details as we go toward the end, and they say, hold on, I want you to have some things to latch onto when the story doesn't go the way you think. Because it's going to end with a cross, not a crown, as they thought. So they use these same examples to help us see. And so going back to where we've been, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Now, this is not his first trip, but it will be his last trip to Jerusalem. You see, we've seen in the story, he was brought there to the temple when he was 8 days old for a ceremony. He was brought every year by his parents, and no doubt Jesus did the same thing as an adult. He just kept coming to Jerusalem. We've seen record of him being there before. But this is his last trip. It's going to end the way he's told his disciples it's going to end. It's not going to end in glory. It's going to end in cross. Don't worry, the story gets better. He keeps trying to tell them, but they're not getting it yet. But this is what's coming. This is what's happening. And so Jesus is going from town to town, from city to city, and he's kind of making his last comments and connections. And he's doing this, and he's trying to encourage and tell the story. And he's got all the weight. Imagine the weight that Jesus is under. We saw it a little bit last week of just the burden and the pressure that he's under as he knows, full stop, what's coming. But yet, in all of that, he still takes time to help somebody in need. So for today's story, we're going to jump between a couple places, between Mark. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10. And Luke chapter 18. So if you have your Bible and you want to follow along, those will be the places we'll flip back and forth for details. If you want to follow along on the screen, you can, or those of you online, it'll be underneath as well. I want to make sure that you see all this. So we're going to start in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. So Jesus has been on this journey, and Mark tells us that then they reached Jericho. Who is they? They is Jesus, his close disciples, the 12 that we always assume when it says disciples, but also a larger crowd traveling with him. So they stay an unspecified amount of time. He's just there for a little bit. But then as Jesus and his disciples leave town, they leave Jericho, a large crowd follows. And this is normal. We've seen this a lot, right? Because Jesus is a celebrity in all the good sense of the word, not the negative that we might have connotations of. But Jesus is somebody. He's got a reputation. He's a teacher that people want to go hear. He's a religious figure they want to see. He's just somebody that's got a lot of cool things seem to happen, so people want to be there. Sometimes it's just people that want to be close to try to tear him down because they don't agree with him. But no matter what, this large crowd is following. And this is what's going on. But there's more than a crowd because Mark and the others want to point out somebody else that's in the story. Mark tells us also that in addition to the crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. Now, I'm going to call him Bartimaeus because that's how I grew up hearing it. Some people call him Bartimaeus or Bartimaeus or Bart. Don't have a cow, dude. So however you want to say it, that's fine, but that's his name. That's what we're going to go by. And so here's this guy. So I want you to understand. I want you to think with me. So for a second, I'm going to ask you to do something really dangerous in church. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. But I will ask you to open them again, okay, in a little bit. But close your eyes, and I want you to imagine being blind. Now, we can still see some of the lights. Open your eyes again. Don't fall asleep on me. This is Bartimaeus. He's just in the dark. Have you ever been in a crowd? Have you ever been uncertain in a crowd? Maybe you're like, you're not a people person, so crowds freak you out. Maybe you are a people person, but sometimes crowds get too big. But imagine being near a crowd when you're blind and sitting at the side of a road, and you don't know what's going on. For this guy, I'm sure he has trained his ears because that's all he can use to listen, because he's got to be aware if somebody's coming by, because that's how he has to ask for help. So his ears are paying attention, and he hears the crowd noise start to raise and get louder and louder, and he's trying to pick it out. And he's got to wonder, is this a crowd? Is this a mob? Is this a riot? Is he in danger? He has no way to get out of it. What's going to happen to him? Will he be a casualty of whatever is going on? And so he's just there with whatever meager possessions he has, a coat maybe, and maybe something to hold the coins that somebody might give, or just he has his hands out. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. So jumping to Luke, Luke tells us that when Bartimaeus heard the noise, when he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. Picture that. Poor blind beggar Bartimaeus on the side of the road saying, hey, what's going on? I hear it's getting real noisy. There must be something going on. What's going on? How many times does he have to ask? Because the crowd doesn't care about Bartimaeus. They're not here for him. He's just a blind beggar on the side of the road. Who cares? So how long is it that he has to ask and ask and ask before finally somebody responds? And they do eventually. Verse 37, they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. Jesus, here, nearby, he's going to be this way. If he was two blocks away, it'd be too far for a poor blind man. But he's going by. He's going to be going right by me. And Bartimaeus has heard, and we'll see in a little bit what he has heard. But I wonder, he's already made up his mind about Jesus, and he'll tell us. But I wonder what he's heard that perks up his ears. Maybe as Jesus was in town and the noise had, the rumors had spread because, hey, did you hear Jesus was there? Maybe it was Jesus, the rabbi, the religious leader that seemed to be at odds with some of the religious elite. Maybe it was Jesus, the teacher. You should hear this guy speak. Nobody's ever spoken like this guy. I wish you could hear him because it's amazing. The stories he tells, the things he says about God is just unbelievable. I've never heard anybody talk like this. Maybe he's heard of Jesus, the healer, and he wonders, just maybe. Back to Mark chapter 10, verse 47. Mark tells us that when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to just, you know, kind of just a little bit louder than normal, just kind of, hey, Jesus, woo, hey. No, that's not what he's going to do. He begins to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And not just once, because it's hard to be heard above the crowd. So he keeps screaming and shouting, Jesus, I'm over here. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, please. I'm over here. Son of David. It tells us what Bartimaeus decided, what he believed about Jesus. Because son of David was a term that was, you're the one, you're the Messiah. I believe you're the one that God has promised all along to come and set things right. And I'm going to lean into that. He leans into his faith in that moment. I asked you before if you've been in a crowd. Have you ever been in a crowd where somebody got too loud? You know, there's a level of loud you're allowed to be in a crowd. And don't go over that because that's rude. We're all loud. Don't you be loud. Okay. Maybe you've been in a crowded restaurant and there's that couple that are just, Maybe they're happy and they're loud. Maybe they're angry and they're loud. And you're like, come on, we're just trying to conversate and have this whatever. And you just don't be that loud, okay? Don't be that person. I have time to tell a story. My family and I had a chance to go to Universal recently. And outside, if you've ever been, there's an area called City Walk, and they've got these buildings that have massive LED screens. So we were there, and at night, there were some of the World Cup matches. Not a big soccer fan, but it was going on. And depending on who was playing, there were a lot, big crowd or small crowd. But one of the games was going on, matches, sorry, use the right lingo. I don't want to upset the soccer fans. And there was a decision that was made by the official that was not very popular in the crowd. But this one lady, she's on a motorized wheelchair, and all of a sudden, she floors it to run to the front of the thing. I mean, it's a huge screen. You don't have to get close. You can see it. But she gets where she's almost like this and begins to yell at how she vehemently disagreed with the officiating and the actions that she would like the official to take that were not pleasant and were not things that you should say. I'm like, come on, I'm not even here for the game, but I'm definitely not here for you. We know what it's like. We don't care what they have to say. And we're not the only ones that are like that, because the next verse tells us, Mark tells us, that the response to Bartimaeus was not welcoming. And I love this phrase, it's awesome. Verse 48, be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. Is there a bigger oxymoron in the world than that? Yelling at somebody to be quiet. Like, do you want quiet or do you want yelling? Because I'm already yelling, why are you yelling? To be quiet, what does it mean? It means they don't care. Because he's just Bartimaeus. I'm not here for you, buddy. I'm here for Jesus. Maybe I'm here for me. Let's be honest, I'm here for me. So be quiet. Okay, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have ever been guilty, like I have been, of yelling, be quiet? Okay. Parents everywhere, yes. Because it's not about the silence, it's about your silence, because whatever. And now Bartimaeus has a decision. He's in the middle of a crowd that's starting to turn hostile to him. What recourse does he have? He's just a poor blind beggar on the side of the road. Somebody take a swing at him, he would never see it coming. And he's got to wonder what's happening. But this is his shot. Jesus is nearby. He's close. And this is his shot. And he's not going to waste his shot. So what does he do? Mark tells us, but he only shouted louder. I'm not going to get that much louder. There are babies in the room. But a little bit. Son of David, have mercy on me. He don't care because he's not here for them either. He's got a need. He's got a need and he wants to be heard. He's going to just take all of the, imagine how long has he been blind? Was it from birth? Maybe, because the only name that he has is that he's the son of Timaeus. Did he even have a name? Or was he the baby that was born blind that was never going to make it and somehow he's overcome the odds? Or did he have an accident and he used to be able to see and now he can't? Whatever it is, all the dark days and darker nights and all the suffering and the emotion and the pain and the hope and the crying out of all those times where he just begged God for somehow a miracle to happen, it's all in there. And he's like, I can be quiet, but who knows when I'll have another chance to do that. And he just shouts louder because that's all he can do. In the agony of his cry. But what hope does he have? He's one voice in a crowd. One voice in a crowd that's getting louder to match his volume to tell him to be quiet. As he prays for something. You ever feel that way when you pray? Just one voice. There's so many people. Is he going to listen to me? Just one voice. Everybody's calling out. And I know that there are people who have it worse than me, but I still can't fix the ache in my heart that just wants to say, please, God, will you listen? But how can you hear me above so many? But yet he screams and he calls. But with all the noise of the drums of the kids program and everything else, with all the noise of all the crowd, something happens. Because the next verse says everything. When Jesus heard him, He stopped. Jesus stopped, not Bartimaeus. Because that might be me. You ever do that in a restaurant or somewhere where you're talking really loud and then it gets quiet and you're like, hey, baby. But Bartimaeus is still going. But Jesus hears him and Jesus stops. And I don't want to rush past that because somebody will have a lot of other stuff we're going to talk about. But maybe today what you need to hear is when Jesus hears you, he stops. Because Jesus hears you. Jesus is listening. He hears you above the crowd. And when he hears, and he does, he stops for you because he cares about you. When Jesus heard him, he stopped. Stop to what? To say, quiet, I'm walking here. Or, do you not know I have a limited time with my disciples? This is the end of my mentoring program, and I'm almost done, and I don't have a lot of time. Will you just please pipe down? Okay? You think you have a bat? I'm going to die soon. Really, when you weigh the two. Jesus doesn't do that because he loves. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. This is the power of leadership in a crowd. The crowd's been yelling at him to be quiet, but Jesus stops. Everybody gets kind of quiet. It's like the glass breaking in the restaurant, and everybody just kind of... And Jesus says, stop, stop, stop yelling at him. Tell him to come here. I want to talk to him. And suddenly this crowd that was turning increasingly hostile gets led in a different direction and understands how we're supposed to treat somebody. Because now they start calling the blind man. Now they start telling him, hey, Jesus is calling. And that's the power of leadership. As we go into our jobs this week, as we start school again, teachers, students, you have the power to change something with your leadership. You don't have to follow the crowd. You can turn the crowd by doing the right thing. But they called the blind man, and I love what they said. Cheer up, they said. Cheer up. Why? What do you mean cheer up? Because you can imagine, can't you? He has been screaming his lungs out in agony and pain for however long it took until Jesus heard. And all of that emotion and all of that angst and all of that hope and all of that doubt and all of everything has been coming out as he's just been screaming, Jesus, please help. Please just see me and hear me. Please have mercy on me. And he's, though his eyes could not see, they could tear, and he's weeping. But they come to him and they say, cheer up. Good news. Come on. He's calling you. The rest of the verse tells us. So cheer up. Cheer up, Bartimaeus. Cheer up. Come on. He's calling you. There's good news. I have good news for you. You wanted to be heard, and he's heard you. And better than that, he's calling you. Come on. Let me take you to him. And if you want a beautiful picture of what the gospel is, it's this right here. Good news. Jesus is calling. Good news. Jesus is calling you. Let me take you to him. Come on. Come with me. Let me bring you. This is amazing. How does Bartimaeus respond? Have you ever been really happy to see somebody and you had something in your hands and it becomes instantly less important and you throw it away because they're here? Ever seen a little child with a toy that they really care about, but then mom or dad shows up and the toy goes down and they run? This is Bartimaeus, because Bartimaeus hears that Jesus wants him. And so verse 50, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. Don't need that. Jumped up and came to Jesus. And I imagine that he's probably like a little kid. He's pulling his handlers. He's like, okay, where's he at? No, this way, Bartimaeus. Okay, just take me to him. I'm in a hurry. Just, don't you need your coat? Why do I need a coat? In this moment, I don't need anything. I just need to get to him. And he's dragging them along. And he comes to Jesus. Jesus does something at first that feels so, like, what are you doing? But I think there's a reason. Back to Luke, chapter 18, verse 40. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, okay, you read people's thoughts. You've known what people are thinking, and you respond to them, whether good or bad, based on what they were thinking. When you called one of your disciples, you told him that you saw him under a fig tree before he even got there. And he was like, whoa, that's cool. You're the guy. He's like, yeah. This is all that Jesus can do. But let's leave aside the supernatural for a second, the divine. Jesus, he's blind. You seen a blind person? It's very obvious. They can't see. So Jesus, you don't have to be special. You don't have to be divine to divine this. The guy is blind. What do you think he wants you to do? Why would he ask? Because, of course, Jesus knew what he wanted. Jesus knew what he needed. But calling him, obviously, Bartimaeus knew he heard. But Bartimaeus needed a chance to know that God was listening and wanted to know that what was on his heart. So he just calls him and says, hey, what you got in mind? What can I do for you? What would you like? You have an audience. I'm here. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what's on your heart. And Bartimaeus responds, I think he was just empty. But it's so beautiful and powerful. Lord, he said, I want to see. I don't have anything left. I don't have eloquent prayers. I can't say, if thou dost be willing, I beseech thee. He's just, Lord, I just want to see. I just want to see. And the power of this prayer is amazing because this is a prayer, because prayer is just talking to God. And that's what he's doing. And it's pure and it's beautiful. We talk about prayer sometimes as basically just going to God and say, I know you can, I'm asking that you will. And this is what Bartimaeus has done. He led with it. Son of David, the one that I believe can do something about my situation. Have mercy on me, I'm asking that you will. Lord, the one in charge, I know you can. I'm just asking that you will, I just want to see. Nothing powerful, nothing special, because it doesn't have to be. It just has to be to him. Verse 42, and Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Oh, I thought it was Jesus. Not Jesus was the one that did the healing. What do you mean your faith? It's like, Bartimaeus, yes, obviously I'm doing the thing. But this would have never happened, Bartimaeus, unless you were willing to reach out and call me. Unless you believed in the first place that I could do something and you started the yelling and the shouting. And you came to me when I called you. And I asked you what you wanted and you still believed that I could do it. And you asked. And that faith is being rewarded by your healing. Verse 43, instantly the man could see and here's where I get really guilty because I want to read. I want to keep going with the story. Instantly, the man could see. Isn't that awesome? Tell me next. What's next? What's next? But this was Bartimaeus' life-altering moment that he never forgot the rest of his days. Instantly, the man could see. And he sees Jesus. And I bet you that Jesus smiled at him. And I bet you that Jesus hugged him and took the moment that it needed to be, because for us, it's just another story, but for Bartimaeus, it was everything. And the tears are still there, but they're different now. And we know what that looks like, right? Have you seen the videos? Maybe it's somebody that's deaf and they're getting the implants put in the doctor, and they're starting to dial it in. And they hear that voice that they haven't heard in forever or never heard at all. And it just comes out. Because they can hear the tears flow. Or even little babies that have glasses put on them and they finally can see clearly and they see mom for the first time and the realization overflows and they just start crying because it matters. I saw one recently, it was a man and a woman and the woman was extremely colorblind. And they went out and he had the camera set up because they went out in a field and it was sunset. They were there, and she's like, well, you know, I'm sure it's nice. I'm sure you can describe it to me, but I can't really tell. And he grabbed a box of those glasses that help them see. And she put them on and began to be able to process the beauty of the rainbow of the sunset and all the myriad of colors that come together to just be awe-inspiring, those things that we just can take for granted or we appreciate that only look good for some reason in a grocery store parking lot. I don't know why sunsets look better that way. But, and she just cries out of a mixture of just overwhelm at the change and the love that she felt from him and all of it, just so much. And this is literally what Bartimaeus is feeling right now. He grabs onto Jesus. They have that moment. I bet you Jesus hugged him until Bartimaeus was ready to let go. Then what happens? What would you do if you were Bartimaeus? What's that? That's what he does. Spoiler alert, thanks. No, it's good, it's coming, we're coming to it. It's awesome. Instantly the man could see in the rest of the verse, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. And I have to imagine it went a little something like this. I can see, I can see. I couldn't see before, but he healed me and now I can see. That's awesome. What color shirt is that? I have no idea what color is. Can you, blue. I like blue. That's a good color. I like that. I can see blue. Did you know I can see blue? What color is yours? It's not that color. It's red. I like that. That's awesome. Hey, I can see your face. You have a nice face. Hey, I can see your face. It's not as nice, but it's okay. I still like it because I've never seen faces before. Can I tell you? He did it. He did it. He let me see. I couldn't see before. Thank you. Thank you for sending the one who could do this. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, I can see. I can see. Did I tell you I can see now? He did it. He did it. I can see. I couldn't see before. I left my coat somewhere over there where I used to sit and beg because I couldn't see anything, but now I can. I'm just going to follow him the rest of my days because he's awesome. I'll never forget what he's done. And all the people around are like, wow. That was awesome. Did you see what he did? And the buzz goes through the crowd. Did you see what he did? He healed that blind man. He can see now. He's acting really weird because he can see now. And he's saying strange things because he can see now. But isn't it awesome? Isn't God good who has sent somebody like this who can do this amazing thing? He followed Jesus, praising God. In Lighthouse, this is our role. This is our message. This is our calling. Yes, yes, Jesus wants you to believe on him, but he wants you to follow. Just follow him, praising God. This is what has been happening this whole time. The review that we saw, this is what Jesus did to John. John, you're not sure? Just look at what I've done. Look what I've done. If you don't believe I'm the one, if you're not sure I'm the one, just look at what I've done. And the gospel writers have been doing it over and over and over again, including this very story that we're reading. They decided at some point, I got to tell them this. Do you remember the story of Bartimaeus? I got to tell them this. They've got to see it because they've got to read it. I've got to tell them because I want them to believe. I want them to look at what Jesus has done and believe in him and follow him. This is what we're doing. They've been doing it for 2,000 years. It's been happening. And it's our turn to do it with others, to use the scriptures, to use stories like this to say, look what Jesus has done, look what he's done, look what he's done. But to use our stories too, to choose to worship, to praise him, and to choose to share the message. And it's a simple message. It's simply, simply this. Look what he's done. That's it. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be amazing. It doesn't have to be spectacular. It's just, Jesus is the awesome one. It's just saying, look what he's done. Look what he's done. He healed blind people. Look what he's done. He made deaf people hear. Look what he's done. He made lame people walk. Look what he's done. He called his death, burial, and resurrection, and 3 days later, he pulled it off. Look what he's done. Look at what happened with the early church when they followed him and all the changes that it made in their towns and their countries and their region and how it spread and it spread for 2,000 years and all the good that's been done. Look at what he's done. And then we get personal. We say, I used to be a really big jerk. And now I'm less of a jerk because he's still working on me. But look what he's done. Look at the change he's made. I used to be this, but now I'm this. I used to be that, but now I'm this. Look what he's done. Can I just tell you, he's awesome. Look what he's done. That's everything. It powers everything that we do. Because why do we connect in a small group? Because we sit in a room with other people and we say, look what he's done. Are you struggling right now? I'm so sorry. Tell me your story. I want to hear. Because Jesus took time to listen to people's stories. Look what he's done. I'm just going to do the same thing. And I'm going to tell you an encouraging story of when Jesus spoke, when Jesus did something in my situation that's not exactly like yours. I'm sorry. But he's been there for me. He's made it. He's helped me through. Even if he never healed me, he's helped me make it through. Look what he's done. Let me share that with you. Why do we serve? Why do we take the time to serve other people, to do things? It's because that's what he did. Stephen, one of the early martyrs, says, Jesus went about doing good. Look what he's done. So how could I do any less? I just want to serve you like Jesus served me, served other people. Look what he's done. When we give, it's literally taking a step back and saying, look what you've done. Look what you've given me. You're amazing. It may not be all that I wish I had, but it's everything I have. And it came from you because without the strength and without the gift of life, I never would have had this. Look what you've done. I can give some of it back. Look what he's done. That's the heart. When we invite somebody to faith, when we invite somebody to church, it's just simply this. It's saying, look what he's done. I have a story to tell. He's amazing. You should come. You should believe. Look what he's done. Look at the difference he's made in me, in our group of us. Look at what we're able to do together because look what he's done in us. Look what he's done to us. Look at what he's done through us. And come on, remember, cheer up. It's good news. Come on, come with me. He's calling you. And on a Sunday morning like today when we gather, look what he's done. He's made a way. He's worked a miracle. He's kept his promises. Look what he's done. Let's gather around and sing. Let's sing about how good he is. It's not us. It's yet not I. It's through Christ in me. Look what he's done. This is why we sing. And then we take time to look at stories and we literally say, look what he's done. This is everything. This powers everything that we do. And it's our turn. It's our job to share the message with those who need to hear. Because they may not be blind on the side of a road, or they may be. Somebody that we know right now feels darkness and pain and agony, and they are wondering if their voice is broken through, if anybody has heard them around above the crowd. And Jesus is sending us to just point and say, he hears you. Look what he's done. He loves you. If it's nothing else but the cross, look what he's done. He's given everything. Look what he's done. Come on. Good news. Cheer up. Come on. He's calling you. This is everything. And it's our turn to do it.